The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. In other words, the views expressed on the following program are those of the host. Broadcasting live from Planet Madison, where everything is beyond parody, this is Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Vicki at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Welcome back to the program. You need to have your headphones turned lower. You can say that out loud. It's okay.
I can't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Dave, can you come in and turn up Don Severson's headphones? Don Severson from Active Citizens for Education is the one guy who's still doing due diligence on the questions of costs in public education. And I got to tell you, it just keeps going up, up, up. And I'm looking at a couple of things that are disturbing. And one of those things is a lot of additional ways to increase compensation, overt increases in compensation, what looks to be like no health care changes, and then also what appears to be a lack of assessment of programs and services, which I know you have been talking about for years now. So I don't know, where do you want to start, Don? I'm going to let you, since you're the guy who continues to you know, watch this, everybody else's heads, everybody everywhere else, but at a time where we are facing substantial reductions in our own incomes and our earning potential in this recession, the county we know is cutting police officers and cutting back on the amount of money it's going to be providing in absolute basic service, social services. We're not doing that here, it looks like.
No,
unless I'm reading it wrong.
No, this new proposed teachers agreement that both the board and the teachers union have to vote on yet is just absolutely devastating, because basically they get 1% increase in salary for this year and next year, plus this year they get 2.99% increase in benefits with no change. No change whatsoever in the copay, and there was no change in the benefits.
Okay, come on. I mean, come on. Here we've got every single employee that works for government right now, given the lack of revenue that is coming into the state government coffers or the city government coffers or the county government coffers because of this recession and the fact we spent ourselves into oblivion. Every other government is at least holding salaries stable or stagnant and not providing increases. But Don, these are real increases, and there are new avenues to increase your compensation. So if you want to get additional credits for education, you can increase your compensation. There's additional compensations for coaches or building supervisors. It's as if the recession never happened.
Oh, no, it didn't for them. To put that in real dollars, the total package of 3.99% increase in salary and benefits, that amounts to $3.3 million this year in dollars alone, just for 2,600 teachers. That doesn't take into account what's coming yet for clericals, for administrators, for custodians, and so forth. And administrators in particular are in a Me Too arrangement,
sure.
Have been for years.
And wouldn't custodians be in that same, and who would blame them?
Well, got to give custodians a lot of credit. They took initiative to work with the district in terms of changing their health care benefits package to reduce costs, and they've done a number of other things. That's one union group you can give some credit to.
Well, then they get some credit.
Yep.
Because, you know, if you're out there actually actively trying to help in the process of getting the budget under control.
Well,
that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah,
so.
Well, they've taken the initiative and have the attitude of wanting to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem, which you cannot say for John Matthews.
All right. So, and what is the likelihood the board is going to vote to approve this?
Oh, they
almost
will.
A certainty.
Sure.
And what is the likelihood that this is agreeable to John Matthews?
Oh, it is, or he wouldn't have gotten to this. It wouldn't have gotten to this point.
All right, so this is a done deal, is what you're basically saying.
Sure.
All right, so it's a done deal. So $3.3 million. And we're not including some other things, which are the new pathways to additional compensation. So what does this enable salary schedule progression with professional advancement credits? That looks like a new pathway to increase compensation.
There's two new pathways to meet new certification standards that have been developed by the state and by the feds that allows teachers, social workers, nurses, psychologists, and so forth to earn credit to move on the salary schedule to increase their salaries.
Okay, so now there have been so many studies that have been done on this question of whether increased credits in education for teachers improves educational outcomes. And it's an absolute wash. It just simply doesn't correlate with improved educational outcomes. So why do we keep doing this? I know the state approved these certifications, but why does Madison, the great progressive thinking body that it is, not recognize that this is something that doesn't make sense for our school district? Presumably, we are going to keep the status quo in terms of programs as well, because as I understand, there was no assessment of programs and services.
That's correct.
So why are we doing this?
Because they can.
Because they can. You know what? Dave, do me a favor and see if you can find some archived audio of Don Severson and myself from 2005 and 2006 and 2007 having the same conversation.
Seems like it. Well, another thing they're continuing in there is the Teacher Emeritus Retirement Program.
Which, right, this is to pay teachers to retire early and sit idle.
Right. $30,000 a year for 3 years. And that's $2.5 million this year.
So $2.5 million or $30,000 a year for early. So reporting somebody for not working. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Sure. Now, something else that I thought was interesting is that we're also providing additional sources of compensation if teachers want to volunteer for building supervision or things like that. Why are we opening up all of these pathways to increase salaries? And we're not cutting benefits at all. We're not looking for new ways to renegotiate these concepts of health care. Which, really the amount of work that has been done is, barely been a blow through your checkbook. And yet we're providing all additional sources of ways to increase your salary. Not that I'm against people taking advantage of those if they're available to them. So again, I don't want to hear from teachers saying I'm beating up teachers. Because, if they're there, I took advantage of the housing tax credit to buy a house, right? But I would have preferred we never did that. But it's why would the board, knowing that we're seeing reduction in state school aids everywhere? And to quote Brian Schimming, the rich uncle's on life support at this point. So state aids for cities and state aids for schools, those things are becoming extinct. They are rapidly, working their way toward extinction. And we don't even have a board that is seeing that on the horizon. They just continue on the same process.
Because we're bullied by John Matthews, and they won't stand up to it.
Well,
it's that simple. And he's the problem.
I don't even think we can just say he's a bully, because it's not like this isn't obvious and it hasn't been going on for years and years. If you don't agree with this stuff, you can stand up to it, and plenty of people have in the past. Plenty of people have stood up to this in the past. So, this is a bunch of people who don't even want to have a conversation about it, don't even want to make tough choices. And this ticks me off. And we had the one-time money that was able to mask a lot of this stuff from a closed TIF district. And now we're back at the same old, same old. At a time when, people's property taxes are going up, state's got to raise your taxes, the city's going to raise your taxes, the county is at a point now where it's talking about a $9 million to $20 million property tax increase. And now we've got more coming from the schools. We have not reduced the number of kids who are in need of additional educational resources. We haven't reduced the number of kids who have English as a second language requirements. We haven't improved the outcomes with reading. We continue to create new challenges for ourselves by inviting in children from poorer educational environments, and we need to catch them up. In the meantime, we don't want to do a damn thing to control costs.
Well, what's particularly frustrating about this...
Oh, and we might actually do four-year-old kindergarten, too.
Well, yeah, that's...
That's coming up.
That's another whole bag of worms.
And we're hearing that there's another school referendum proposal coming down the pike. So all of that's coming in the future.
Well, and they're going to make use of, the old increase in property taxes, another $80 this year on the average home, to make up this $9.2 million shortfall.
Right.
But it's
$80 here and $60 there and $178 here and another $200 there. And pretty soon, that looks like a pretty substantial piece of ching per month coming out of your paycheck.
But the problem...
To not get better services. Yeah, this is cost to continue BS.
The real disaster to this, Vicki, is that there hasn't been due diligence and they haven't done their state statutorily required fiduciary responsibility. Now, it's a big word. But what it means is they need to know and needed to accept reality last spring. They incorporated into the preliminary budget they approved in May a 4% increase for the teachers' agreement. Duh. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
No kidding.
It came about.
Well,
And
last spring, everybody saw what was coming summer.
They knew back in March that Doyle was going to cut school aides.
Because he basically said he was going to cut
school
aides. Yeah,
he did say that. But they
and on top of that, we're going to have the additional pressure of the elimination of the QEO.
Right.
Good times.
Right. And the issue with that is that some of our board members chose to play footsie with their Democrat friends in the legislature, thinking they would get bailed out and get more money.
Yeah, and
well,
you know what?
Duh, what happened?
Everybody who thought they were going to be able to sit and have cocktails and get bailed out, everybody got screwed on that expectation. We're going to take a quick break. Don Severson back for another break in just a second. Okay, welcome back. Don Severson is on the program. 321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310. There are some notable exceptions to the water carriers, to the navel gazers on the school board. And so some credit due to Maya Cole and Lucy Mathiak. Unfortunately, just not enough.
Just not enough.
Let's go to Don on the phone, who's got a question on a report that was due from Superintendent NARAD. Hi there, Don. Say hi to Don.
Hello, Don. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Don. How are you?
Very good. Yes. When Dr. NARAD took the position of superintendent, he stated that he will always give, after the first year or per year, a state of the education report regarding what condition the Madison educational system is in. And remember that $25 million that we set aside per year for the last 5 years for building updates?
Yes.
Does anybody know what's been updated and whether and how that money's been spent? So there's two issues. That State of the State report that Dr. NARAD promised, he's been here over a year. Have you seen it?
No.
Well, what is the state of it?
How's that for a simple answer?
Yeah. The state of education, by all indications, is status quo. It's the same as that's why Don and I joke here that we could just blow the dust off some audio that we did back in 06 because we're having the same conversation with a little bit of difference because there was a closed TIF district.
I've been involved in the Madison school system for over 16-plus years because I have children in it and still do. But does Madison realize that we are now on the accelerated rate to create an educational system equal or less than what Milwaukee has today?
Oh, we're on the slippery slope.
No, it's not a slippery slope. We are there. This was an issue that was brought up to Dr. NARAD when he first came here to Madison. He agreed. What is in this discussion regarding a contract that's going to help all the children in Madison improve?
That's the question, okay? That gets to programs and services, all right?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. Don, now I'm going to make you stay past the news break.
Oh, too
right.
Bad.
Yeah, darn it. So that means that I'm going to have to move my left-wing slogan. We'll get it in. Don't you worry about it. We're getting it in to the second break in the next half hour. So that's coming up. So many things he said that we got to get to, but the state of the education address, you haven't heard it, would necessarily require an assessment of programs and services. He's talking about the outcomes of education. I think a lot of people would be more comfortable with a lack of interest in controlling the costs if we had really, really good outcomes.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Don Severson, my guest, Active Citizens for Education. We'll be right back. And we're back. All right. Before we do the new left-wing slogan, and you left-wingers are going to love this, because I bet you this is the first time you've heard your new slogan.
You will respect my authority.
It has to do with that. That is coming up. And trust me, I didn't make it up. You're going to love it. I promise. Don Severson for another break to talk about. Actually, let's answer Don's worries. He called in at the very end of the last half hour. He was talking about the promise for a state of education speech or address from Superintendent NERAD, which we haven't gotten. You have asked, I don't know how many times, if you're keeping track, how many times you've asked for an assessment of programs and services.
Too many over the last 10 years.
Can't remember, can you? Still haven't gotten that. The excuse for that is that the superintendent is looking to develop a strategic plan and for some reason needs to do the plan before he does the assessment. Seems to me the plan might be affected by the assessment.
Well, the plan was adopted last night, finally.
Oops. So we're still waiting for that programs and services assessment. And it's simple. Do the programs that we are using work? Does the curricula work throughout the various subjects in school? Is the teaching method the kind of teaching method that is working for all students? All right, so if are 80% of kids getting the value out of the particular teaching method we're using? Do we have too many teachers as resource teachers who are sitting idle, being basically teachers' aides, and too few teachers in the classroom? You know, all of these, just reading recovery produce significant enough results that we should spend $9,000 per student on it? Should we, you know, change the way we do English as a second language education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? You just go get some kids who are doing their econometrics classes at the University of Wisconsin. You ask them to crunch the numbers. I bet you get the numbers in 2 weeks.
Wouldn't take long.
I don't think so. And it would probably be budget neutral.
Think so?
I imagine they probably work for beer. I know I used to. It's, for real. This is what we used to farm ourselves out in college to do assessments of whatever. In our case, it was the city of Beloit. They would come to our department, the social science department or the economics department, and they would ask for people to do statistical analyses of various types of programs. We were basically farmed out, and you know, they usually bought us like, you know, a sandwich or something, and that was pretty much it. It's not hard to do this. There is people who are deliberately, apparently trying to drag their feet, and it takes almost more effort to drag their feet than just to get the information out there.
Well, there needs to be a template developed and a checklist in terms of the dimensions and the aspects.
And put it online so we can all see it
and deal with it that way and apply those that that are appropriate for each program, service, and personnel. I think Dr. NERAD does agree he's going to have to do it, and that is that job responsibilities are going to have to be evaluated.
Yeah, these resource teachers, for instance, if they're supposed to be the best in the district, then what the heck aren't they doing in some of the most challenged classrooms? Why aren't they in the challenged classrooms where the kids are struggling, where the kids need extra help? What are they doing as, quote, resource teachers? Walking around and looking, you know, down their nose at other teachers. I don't know what they're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing. But if they're that good, they should be in the classroom teaching.
Exactly. And in the tougher challenging situations.
Yeah. You put the best teachers in the tougher situations. Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're spending more money. We're providing new avenues to seek additional forms of compensation. We haven't assessed programs and services, and we are spending exorbitant amounts of money on some of them. And the one that always crops up is the one that's kind of a bone of contention for a lot of people is reading recovery. This is the darling of the NEA. They love it. They love it. They love it. It's extremely expensive. And in the case of Madison schools, it's producing about a 50% result.
Right.
Well, at $9,000 per kid, which is almost as much as some other states spend per pupil entirely on education, it seems like we should do better than 50%. Is there a better way to do it, a cheaper way to do it? Can we take some of the ideas of virtual school learning? Perhaps some of the kids who are far behind, because maybe they came here from Guatemala. I don't know. Can we look for new ways to maximize our efficiency and maximize educational outcome?
That's right.
Isn't that what the assessment's supposed to essentially direct us toward?
Correct.
Yeah. You and I had this conversation last year.
And every year before that.
And the year before and the year before that. ActiveCitizensForEducation.org. ActiveCitizensForEducation.org. Here's another thing I'd like. This is already happening in the Milwaukee public schools. I mean, this is where, you know, this is where money goes down the hole, never to be seen again. There is an online searchable database available to Milwaukee public school taxpayers. Online searchable database Of all of the different contracts, the request for proposals, the amount of money and compensation and benefits packet, all of this, literally at the click of a mouse, very easy. You can take a look at the demographics of the school. It wasn't that hard for them to come up with that database. I dare say Citizens for Responsible Government out of Milwaukee probably might even be willing to come here to Madison and help us set that up, if only we could get anybody with any interest.
Well,
Wouldn't that be cool?
Sure. And one of the things, back to the other Don's question about maintenance and the money that's been spent for that, it's online what they, what they've done, but no information about what difference it made.
There you go. Assessment. Thanks very much, Don Severson.
Thank you.
All right. Is it time? Is it time, Dave? I think it's time to clue in the left about what their new slogan is. You guys are going to be so psyched. Oh, you liberals are going to love this. All right, so the left, which, you know, back during the old days of Bill Ayers blowing up buildings and the Students for a Democratic Society, also known as socialists, you know, the various Marxist organizations out there, we got phrases like question authority. We got phrases like speak truth to power, power to the people, right? We got slogans like never trust anybody over 30. All of those kinds of, you know, up in the face of the man slogans. You guys, you lefties, you got a new one because, you know, you can't just say Bush is a terrorist forever, right? Here's your new one. A drum roll. Do you have a drum roll for me? Because I think they're going to love this. I really want to make a very big deal out of this for the left. The new slogan of the new left. Come on, you can do a drum roll. Don't make me bang on my console here. Are you serious? Some idiot deleted our drum roll? Okay. And the winner is respect the president. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is the new left slogan. Again, respect the president. So we went from stick it to the man, question authority, speak truth to power, power to the people, and never trust anybody over 30 to respect the president.
Oh, you will respect my authority.
And the t-shirts are already available online as we speak. So there you go, lefties. Your new slogan, respect the president. I know the irony is just, it's almost too much to resist, but I'm going to try to resist it. I am. What I have posted up online, however, is what a dramatic turnaround this is in the rhetoric and the sensibilities of the left. Because as you all recall, back during the past 8 years of the Bush-Cheney administration, respect the president was not something that they would have embraced as a new way of thinking. But it is now. So please check out my Facebook page because I have posted up a number of...
You will respect my authority!
Exactly. A number of great pictures just to show us all how far the left has come. They've grown, right? They've grown. Respect the president.
You gotta... Don't tase me, bro!
Nope. Dave, that one is not the new, that's the Madison, you know, crime beat writers in the Capital Times. That's their slogan. That, is not, however, I'm serious, folks. It is a new slogan. It's respect the president. T-shirts are available. I've put the links up on the website. They're angry that people are daring to insult President Obama. It's just wrong. Absolutely not. You are not going to question authority.
You will respect my authority.
You are not allowed to speak truth to power. No more power to the people. Power to the government. Power to the government. Power to the king. Respect the president. Wow, weird. Because we were not demanding respect for the president in the last administration. We were politely asking. But that was, well, you know, again, though, it's a growth thing, right? They're growing. They're just growing. Because it's all about hope, change, love, puppies, warm, fuzzy, sunshine. Barack Obama carried in on the shoulders of angels. I'm serious. You've got to go see this, folks. You will laugh your butt off. The new slogan of the left is truly, I'm not joking, I'm not making it up, it is respect the president. You guys, you lefties, you're officially the man, in case it didn't occur to you.
You will respect my authority.
Respect the president. Wow, that's so awesome.
You
so,
will respect my authority.
Remember, it was Bush is Hitler, Bush is a terrorist, Bush is a moron, Bush is a monkey. Instead of calling him Bush, they'd call him Shrub. Bush is war for oil. Dick Cheney eats kittens. No, that was one I made up. I'm sorry, but the other ones are real. And now that those were the, you know, the slogans of the left back in the day, you know, last year. Now it's respect the president. Hey, folks, see you tomorrow.